Hi, you're listening to Kate
and Catherine,
and we're going to show you how to find your Prince Charming so that you can finally live happily ever after, forever and ever.
No.
We are definitely not going to do that.
We are sick of that story, and it's a lie.
It is a lie.
You're listening to The New Truth, a modern woman's guide to extraordinary love.
We are going to show you how the fairy tale love story stops you from experiencing the love you truly desire.
Listen to hear how to break free from sacrifice and struggle in relationship.
And learn the new truth about love in a way that you've never heard it before.
We're so happy you're here. Keep listening.
All right, episode 17, The Business of Beauty. Kate came up with that one. It's so good.
The name
of today's episode. We just chatted for an hour before hitting record about this.
We probably should have just recorded the whole thing.
But we're now in perfect passion about what we want to talk about today. And if you're a woman, you're caught up in this. And I, you know, if you've been with us for a long time, you've been following Kate on Instagram. Kate has been vocal for a long time about the beauty industry, you know, and about the truth about Botox. And so if you clicked this episode, we're inviting you into a truthful conversation about the impact of plastic surgery, the impact of our cultural obsession with beauty, the impact of being a woman who thinks it's her job to never age. And, you know, I read The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf a long time ago. This book was written in 1990. And we're essentially still, it's 2024, and we're still talking about the same stuff that she brought to light in 1990.
And it's way worse now.
Thanks to social media.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if I could bring in, like, when I think of what my intention is for this conversation, it's to open the door for you to look. It's when I think of The New Truth, it's like, we're just shining a light and saying, we hope you'll look, right? We hope you'll look at where we're putting the spotlight. And that you have choice if you want to look or not. You know, you have choice with what you want to do with your body. And we want a world where women are free, right? Where you are free to be who you are, where you're free to know who you are, and you're free to walk through the world without the susceptibility of seeing yourself only through the eyes of men. Right. And that's what really for me is the intention. It's like learning how to see yourself through your own eyes rather than through men, rather than through other people. Right. Like, how many women, men aside for a second, how many women are walking through the world waiting for someone to give them permission? What do you think I should do? Do you think this is a good idea? Right. Rather than I give myself permission to follow what is right and true for me and live how I want to live and to be who I am rather than who the world wants me to be. And I have big, and you too, like, big stories of what it was like to only see myself through what men saw. I mean, women want, oh, I want to be the hot girl. I want to be hot. That's all I want. I just want people to think that I'm hot, which has nothing to do with people seeing me.
Yeah.
You're not seen if you're only focused on external.
Yeah.
But here we go. We're going to talk about this. I talk about it as a business. As a beauty industry, making money off your insecurities and your low self-esteem and low self-worth.
Yes. And selling you a solution that will never be the solution to what you're chasing. And I almost feel like I'm like, should I just not talk on this episode? I feel so emotional about
this. This is our platform.
Topic.
We can do what we want.
It's not that I feel like I have to hold myself back, but it's like, it breaks my heart. I feel like I could just cry the whole episode because I feel fucking heartbroken what women are doing to themselves and what we're modeling to girls. And now girls are doing to themselves. I was at a cooking class in Athens a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine, and it was mostly tourists and us. And this dad from Australia. Did I share this story before?
You did not.
No.
Okay. Actually, I haven't talked to you since you did the cooking class.
Oh,
so you have not even told me the story. Mask. I'm on the edge
of
my seat.
Super fun. Okay. I also met a hilarious guy who's basically a narcissist womanizer recovering. And it was really fascinating to hear his story healing, but we'll shelf that for another time. It was just a bunch of characters. It was such a fun experience. But there was this dad and daughter from Melbourne, Australia. And the daughter was 13 years old. And we all thought she was 17. And like, I was certain she was 17. Everyone was certain she was 17. And I just felt this heartbreak. And now when I was 13, I was starting to wear makeup. I was of course, you're going through puberty. You're trying to fit in. You're trying to belong. You're looking at what your mom's doing. My mom worked for Mary Kay. My aunt had a pink Cadillac and was like the head, like public speaker, head, you know, salesperson for Mary Kay in the Northern Hemisphere or something like that. And so like I was indoctrinated with the makeup message when I was young. And I remember like every time I got a boyfriend, I felt like, oh my God, he's going to break up with me as soon as he sees me without makeup on. So I would do like the bridesmaid thing. You remember the movie Bridesmaid where she puts on her makeup?
It's so brilliant. Good.
That was me, like go to the bathroom in the morning, brush my teeth, put on a little makeup and then go back to bed. And like, that was my state for ever. My mom would say, I have to go put my face on. And like, that was the messaging I got. And I remember my mom would never remember saying this, but I remember going to dinner when I was like 16 and I came upstairs with no makeup on. And my mom was like, are you going to put your face on? And my dad would be horrified if he knew she said that. And back then I think I only wore mascara and maybe lip gloss or something, but it imprinted so deeply. And I remember challenging myself and I maybe shared this story a long, long time ago, but I did a makeup free month. It was August. I was like, okay, I'm tanned in August. It's like a good time to do it. But it was to stretch and to actually feel what it would be like to have no makeup on. And I got so many compliments. And I was telling my family I was doing it. My brother was like, you look the same. You are like the exact same. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's like, yeah, you're the exact same. I'm like, okay. But it was such an interesting practice just to notice how naked I felt and how not me I felt. And like makeup is one layer, right? And of course, like you can wear a little bit of makeup to just enhance. You can wear makeup to hide, right? You can wear makeup as a mask. And, you know, and then we bring out Dr. Botox. You have to say that quote from that book, The Beauty Myth. Like we are selling this storyline to young girls and, you know, the moms who are all modeling it, they're modeling that for their kids. We are selling them the storyline like that you want to be young forever rather than you want to be who you are. And enjoy your life and feel good on the inside. And it just, I mean, what's happening? I almost can barely speak right now because I feel I have so many things to say. Like, I feel like I could write books on this. I've been battled it myself for many, many years. I was deeply jealous of women. I was comparing myself to everyone, tortured on the inside, always attracted the most beautiful friends because I was threatened by them. And my strategy was to become friends with them so I'd feel less threatened. But I mean, this has been such a big part of my journey. And now to be on the other side of living a life that's aligned with my soul, where I feel more beautiful than I've ever felt. And I'll be 43 in a few weeks. And I feel more alive and more radiant and more healthy than I've ever felt before. And I just imagine all of these young girls who are freezing their faces. Like when you freeze your face, you can't express yourself fully. We've been fighting for centuries to express ourselves and you cannot express yourself. I can't even follow actors now. I watch shows and I'm like, Jennifer Aniston, like, please stop. It's devastating because you can't actually express the emotion when you cannot move your face. And I mean, yeah. I'm going to let you talk because I just feel too much. I'm feeling too much. Your turn.
You know, what's interesting. I feel like I've shared with you a little bit on WhatsApp, but I'm coming all the way out with Madeline is actually helping me return to the feminine. And like, we got here to talk about the beauty, the business of beauty, because we actually started with talking about the sisterhood wound.
Yes.
Right. We just started chatting this morning about the jealousy women feel toward other women. Right. And especially in dating, right. What do we say? Like, I'm threatened by the beauty of other women in case my man strays, in case she lures my man away, as if women are responsible for the behavior of men. Right. Like, let's just like go back to that. Right. I remember when Beyonce was cheated on, people were saying, well, oh my God, if Beyonce can get cheated on, like, there's no hope for me again.
Like, it was her job.
Right. Yeah. And as if your looks are what keep a man or, you know, influence a man's behavior.
Yes.
And so I personally had a hard time before Madeline with teachings of the feminine. Like, I, you know, you, if you've known me, you know, you don't see me being like, become a more feminine woman to attract a man, you know, or like use your feminine. And this is going to be part of my new program, actually. So now I'm going to say it. I realized through being with my daughter that the feminine is our nature. So it is nature, but as a woman, it is our nature. And what is nature? Expression.
Yes.
What is nature? Beauty.
Wild.
Right? Wild.
Free.
And when you say, like, right, Botox freezes expression, and we've been trying to be expressed for centuries, it is the perfect way to disconnect women from the feminine, right? From the value of the feminine, which is collaboration, which is togetherness, which is belonging, which is expression and vulnerability. And I've been laughing hysterically because I'm just like, wow, like, of course it's my daughter that's helping me return. But how many women have daughters but are perpetuating that? Like, you're not bringing the feminine into your home. And what's also been happening is children project the goddess onto mother. Like, it's their first experience of the goddess. And that kind of woke me up, where I was like, I have to embody the goddess so that it's an accurate projection that my daughter is going to have on me. And so for me, when I think of this, it's like, of course the beauty industry is it's like, I just keep with my hands, it's like, how do I take women away from each other more and more? How do I take women away from their true power? How do I take women away from their authentic feeling? Because if we were actually feeling, I mean, I don't know if anyone needs to hear this again, like, it's now fucking illegal to get an abortion in the United States. Like, do we realize that in 2024? Like, it's, the more numb a woman becomes, the more obedient she becomes. And so this is the thing that Naomi Wolf actually says, that the beauty myth isn't about, I mean, the beauty industry isn't about beauty. It's about obedience.
Yes.
And I will read, I mean, there's so many quotes from her
book. Man-made woman. I want to hear that one.
Where did that one go? Say what you want to say while I'm looking up that one. Because I had the one about,
everything.
Our society does reward beauty on the outside over health on the inside. Women must not be blamed for choosing short-term beauty fixes that harm our long-term health, since our lifespans are inverted under the beauty myth. And there is no great social or economic incentive for women to live a long time.
Wow. That's it. That's it. And I just want to presence that, you know, sometimes women hear this message and they can feel offended. I mean, they might have already clicked off if they felt offended. But in no way is anything Catherine and I share ever coming from judgment. It's coming from love. It's coming from love and truth. And I feel like, because this message, like, there is such a fire in the pit of my stomach that this is something that needs to change. And I know for myself, when I feel that much of a fire about something, like the fairy tale, like, you know, all the things we talk about here, but that it's something I need to say, because there are women who need to hear this message. And we may plant seeds that might not grow until 3 years from now or 10 years from now. You might keep doing it, not question it. And then one day you're like, wait, why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel trapped in my life? Well, maybe because you're trapped in your face, or why do I feel guarded? Maybe there's walls around your heart. Fake breasts are walls around the heart in somatic psychology. And women are like, why can't I attract love? And because it's blocking you from being you. If you're frozen, it is blocking you from being you. You cannot, you are trapped inside of yourself. So this is said with so much love and care, because it is absolutely not your fucking fault. We are a part of a very sick commerce system that is brainwashing women and has been for a very long time. But the marketing strategies are way slicker nowadays because we're addicted to our phones and we're bombarded with marketing messages, and even marketing messages from your own friends, with their perfect lives and their perfect Botox and their perfect faces and their perfect bodies and their perfect exterior, that the brainwashing is affecting us every single day. And it starts when we're really little, and it's affecting us every single day. So it is not your fault. I mean, this is something I still face and work with, even though I'm in have a healthy, loving relationship with myself and a life that I love. Like, it is every single day keeping yourself in check and plugging into the truth of who you are. Because I love that reference about nature. It's like everything in nature is so beautiful and breathtaking. Everything, nothing's ugly, nothing's worthless, we don't compare trees. Nature is so beautiful. And this is what women are when we are in our radiance, when we are in the truth of who we are. But we have been pinned against each other. We have been brainwashed to believe we need to look like this. Oh no, now we need to look like this. Oh no, now we need to look like this. And you can never win. And women are doing it in the name of, I'm doing it for my confidence. It's self-care is something that I hear all the time now.
I just made that note to talk about.
I mean, I channeled it. I was like, oh,
yes, you did. You felt
that one just came out of nowhere. But that's it. All in the name of self-care, all in the name of you know, trying to okay. So, and I think also women feel older because of the stress that they're living under. So last week's episode is relevant too. It's like we're living under such insane levels of stress, and women are pushing themselves so hard and so disconnected from their bodies in this punishment-based system that's internal, right? Where they're beating themselves up, and then they're not listening to their yeses. They're not listening to their no's, forcing themselves to overwork, to do things they don't want to do, you know, stuck in its survival. We're stuck in our survival patterns in this crazy stress-based world. And then we get these marketing messages that are like, hey, you can look 10 years younger. The only reason you look old is because you're not healthy and vibrant and alive. If you are aging faster than you are, it's because you're not caring for yourself. You're not loving yourself. You're not nurturing yourself. And the reality is, the thing you're chasing is really feeling beautiful, but you will never feel beautiful from Botox. You will never feel beautiful from fillers. You will never feel beautiful from the thing outside of yourself. Even the guy that's praising you, it's like, okay, that might feel good to the young part of you for 5 minutes, but eventually you'll be like, am I good enough? Wait, is he looking at her now? Is it like, right.
Leaves, you then won't know what to do with yourself, and then it's gone because he's not saying it all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
We need to talk about this in the perfect capitalist work obsessed system.
Yes.
These quick fixes to look like you're not tired are a perfect way to avoid how sick you're actually feeling, right? Like, if you don't feel your life, you won't make any changes to it. So that's what I wanted to say, that you brought in all of this about self-care, that I can just keep pretending like it's fine to work myself into the ground, to be in an abusive relationship, to not be following my heart, to not be taking care of myself, because you bet it is harder to put your phone away and go to sleep at night than get Botox. It is harder to say, wow, this job isn't aligned, or it is harder to find the access to the information that might actually be supportive versus an Instagram reel about the next great health craze, right? We're not alive. And if you can't feel anything, then you won't change anything. And that's what I want to bring in about the true maiden, young, you know, immature feminine is I'm not present to the impact any of my choices have on my life. Right? Like maidenhood is fear of missing out. Like I want to do everything. I mean, I just saw something last night about Coachella just happened in California or whatever. And there are men pretending to be rideshare, like pretending to be rideshare drivers and are kidnapping and raping women. Right? And it's like the alcohol industry, if you haven't read Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. I kind of want her on our podcast. You know, she writes about how alcohol has been marketed to women and that alcohol kills women much faster than men. And that the truth is when you're drunk, you totally turn off your intuition, right? So you're not responsible for man's behavior, obviously. However, if you're drunk, you don't have access to your truth. Like you can't tell if someone's safe or not. You can't tell. And that like what the way we treat our bodies. So the thing I realized as I was listening to you too, is remember how I said the practice of I'm choosing this, right? When you're in a relationship, you know, when you get Botox, breathe and say, I'm choosing to put a toxin in my like just actually feel it. I'm choosing this because of course we're not shaming you or judging you. We're angry at the culture. We're angry at these messages that we've been given and we're calling you to come home. You know, my mentor, Carol Kamen, who we interviewed or I interviewed last year, one of her initial, she's had many, many jobs and then many roles. And she actually worked with women to work with their psyche and soul before they got plastic surgery. She worked with the plastic surgeon and the women would have to have sessions with her to make sure they could bear the impact of what their psyche and soul was saying before they were cut open around something, because the damage that would be done if they overrode a psyche and soul saying no, 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 would like the impact on their health were like tremendous. And obviously women could override it, right? They weren't required to do what was happening, but Carol would work with them at that psychosomatic level to be like, what is happening?
Yeah. And cause if you're actually connected with your body, I had a breast reduction. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that
when I was 27 years old.
Wait, yes, I did. You did tell me this, but not what it was like to be you.
Yeah, people always say, like, would you do it now? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. And yes, okay, I had some back pain, but it was definitely more because of my insecurities. And I would not do it again. For years, I was like, it was the best decision I ever made. And it was totally the script. I was like, oh, look, my boobs are still perky and everyone else's are starting to whatever. It was like totally my ego, totally the fucking script. There was absolutely no way I would intentionally cut. Like I had to have plastic surgery on my face for when the dog bit me in the face. Yeah. And that's different, right? Reparative. But there's no way I would ever choose to have my body cut or a face. I have so many clients who have had breast implants removed and all of them were so sick. And then as soon as they got them removed, the sickness went away. Like the impact runs far greater and deeper than you could ever know. And I've worked with women who, when they reclaim their relationship with their body, listen, your body is your vessel for your soul for your rest of your life. And you get one body. And how most women are at war. This is a big conversation inside of my reclamation community right now. Most women are at war inside of their body because of patriarchy, because of the beauty industry, because of all of our programming, because of the teenage versions of ourselves and child versions of ourselves underneath that are the ones making the choices to try and fit in with everyone else, because everyone else isn't aging. So I got to not age. I got to fit and be like everyone else. That is a child. If it's trying to fit in as opposed to just being who you are and belonging to yourself, then you belong everywhere you go. So this is such a massive conversation. Most women are at war with themselves. Most women exercise out of punishment, not love. They're not doing it because it's like the thing that they love to do. Oh, I love to run, or I love to do Pilates, or I love to dance, or I love to do boxing or whatever the thing is like, do you love it? Does your body love it? Do you enjoy it? Do you feel amazing when you do it? Yoga, whatever the thing is. Or do you do it as a way to punish yourself, to try and lose weight, to try and force yourself to be different than you are because of some script in your mind that is the brainwashing? That's why in my work, the women name their saboteur, because it's not you. It's literally everyone's voice but your own telling you, you need to be different than you are. And here's my experience of bodies and beauty. When a woman comes home to her soul and starts to live in honor and reverence of herself and all the things we talk about on The New Truth, if you are carrying extra weight, weight comes from stress. It is simply survival protection. It is like in somatic psychology, when women have the fight response, they gain weight. When they have the flight response, they lose weight. They're tiny. Like women who are so skinny, it's like, wait, have you eaten in a year? It's because they have the flight nervous system response. Our nervous systems are dictating how your body looks. So the more you learn to love yourself, eat food that feels nourishing for your body, start to pay attention to what you're putting into your body, be in relationship with your feelings, take care of yourself, do exercise that feels fun and good for you. All of these things, like weight that's not meant to be there will fall away. Like when I was stuck in the weight loss, weight gain world, every time I'd lose weight, I would be obsessed with, oh my God, did I gain weight? Oh no, did I gain weight? And I would look in the mirror every 2 seconds. And then every time I gained weight, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Oh, I'm so disgusting. Oh, I got to lose weight. I got to lose weight. I'll get a boyfriend when I lose 10 pounds. I'll get this thing when I'll lose. People love me more when I'll fit into the clothes. I was at war no matter what end of the spectrum I was on. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you will never break free of. And your saboteur ego mind will always tell you, I'm just going to get that treatment. Oh, now there's that new pill you can take and lose a bunch of weight by taking a pill. Surely that's going to be good for you. No one's considering their well-being with the Botox. That's the second most toxic chemical on planet Earth that's being injected into your brain. Like how much dementia is going to happen when people are like 40 because they're getting Botox at 20. It's just like, there is so much here and we're at war with ourselves. And so when you learn to have a loving relationship with yourself, you will feel and be more beautiful and radiant than you've ever been in your life, guaranteed.
And this is a long game.
It's a long game.
This is not an instant fix. This is not a take a 3-step program to heal. Like, I think that's again why no one wants to do the deep digging. Like no one wants to feel it, because I shared about getting Botox on the interview with Sinclair. I think I did it 3 times, and on the 3rd time I was wailing, screaming, crying on the way home, being like, my soul was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Right? Because I had a relationship with my soul, so I could hear it. And of course my truth was, well, I did it because all my friends are doing it. Yes. I did it because, oh, it looks really good. And I'm making videos online, you know? And there are people that have reaction. Like, no one's talking about that. People can have serious reactions to, but your eye can droop. And I think what's hard is like the grief. Like if you are willing to feel what patriarchy has told you about yourself and about other women, that will bring you to your knees in grief. Yes. Right. And then it'll bring you to rage, but then it'll bring you home. Because when you're saying the war at the body, what is the body? The feminine.
Yeah, exactly. It's a war against the feminine.
Is body, intuition, expression, feeling. So of course, get disconnected from your body, control your body. Right. And so I found the quote to come back to this.
Yeah,
so
okay, I was just going to say,
cosmetic surgery processes the bodies of woman made woman. Again, we came from our mothers.
Yes.
We were birthed from our mothers. That's woman made woman. Who make up the vast majority of its patient pool into man-made women. Cosmetic surgery processes the bodies of woman-made woman, who we were when we exited the womb, who make up the vast majority of its patient pool into man-made women.
Man-made women. And think about how many, like she wrote this book in 1990. How many women now have Botox?
I think we said the number.
And injections and boobs and all the things. And we just have a whole bunch of man-made women. Think about that. Well, how many plastic surgeons are women? That's very rare. I saw a license plate one day that said Mr. Botox and it was like a Range Rover. I was so mad. I wanted to like run him over. But this is it. It's like man-made women. We are literally, and we think it's our own choice. We think it's our own preference. Oh no, I want to look like this. It's your conditioned mind based on a patriarchal system that is for men. And guess what? The men who are attracted to that, who want you to be frozen, are, I'm going to say, the least trustworthy men out there.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I think of it at the level of dating and relationship, is we really, if when we objectify ourselves, right, when you think all you are is a body, right, for men,
yes,
that's how you then see other women,
yeah,
right? And then you feel threatened by them. Again, how will you come home to yourself without other women? We need each other. Like, this is what my grief is lately in motherhood. It's like, wow, like it is so toxic. It's made me believe that other women are my competition. Other women are better or worse, right, than me, which is what the ego does all the time, right? Better than, less than. It, you know, I'm watching motherhood is just patriarchy on fucking steroids, right? Like, how to be a good mom, bad mom. Oh, what choices are you making? Oh, now it's all for show on Instagram. So let's also talk about this. If we're already objectifying ourselves, we now objectify our lives, right? And then we're voyeurs watching other people's world because we are desperate for connection. We are desperate for community. We are desperate for each other, but we think we're getting connected through watching someone's life on a screen. No matter how vulnerable someone is on Instagram stories, you don't know them. Yeah. You don't know them. We need each other. We need the spaces. Like, you know, Dr. Amanda's retreat, she talked about doing this, a piece of work around beauty at a retreat. You do a huge piece of work about this, both in the reclamation and the immersion. Like, it is experiential. So you listen to this episode. When I think of what I want from you, for you right now, is to be willing to ask the questions about whether or not the choices you're making are true. Right. And if they are, great. Good for you.
Yes.
Right. Like, only you will know in radical honesty with yourself, but know that there's impact, right? Maybe you got cosmetic surgery and you are happy with the results and you're loving it. There is still an impact. Can you feel that you altered your woman-made body? Right? Can you feel that you are altering your woman-made body? And we don't have time for me to go on my rant about the fact that if you have a daughter, can you get radically honest about how will you tell her that how she looks is not the most important thing, if that's what is the most important thing to you?
Yeah,
it won't work. It won't be translated. And so do this for your soul. The feminine is soul, not mind, not spirit. It's the soul, your psyche and soul, which you come home to through art, through dance, through poetry, through writing, through movement, right? Through feeling. And yet you must get there slowly but surely, and then the pain, but also you'll be joining millions of women who are following this. Like, when you make the choice to say no, the counterculture choice of, I will not get Botox, I will not do cosmetic surgery, I will age with love. Right? It doesn't even have to be like gracefully. It's like, I will age because that's what's happening. Like, I am getting older.
I mean,
like,
and love, what, is what's love what is. Yeah.
There it is.
It's like Byron Katie, loving what
that,
is.
That's
like how
the revolution.
The, like, root, it's the root of all suffering, is arguing with reality, and how many ways in which we're arguing with reality, all in the name of trying to avoid pain, rejection, trying to avoid being alone, trying to avoid like all the things that we're deep down trying to avoid. Meanwhile, we're just perpetuating so much internal pain and so much discord inside. So yeah, I mean, everything that we share always is so much love. And it's an intense topic. And I also just want to presence that, you know, it's not going to be everything at once. Like, you're going to be ready for what you're ready for. And I think sometimes we can hear all the things and it's like, oh God, I have to change absolutely everything. And that can feel really overwhelming. And then, you know, some women just don't do anything because it just feels so overwhelming. So, you know, if this, like Catherine was saying, like, what if you were to just practice noticing how you feel and just switching that, like asking yourself that question with everything, you know, making choices of what you're going to wear. Am I choosing what I'm going to wear based on how I'm going to be perceived tonight by my friends at the party, by the men, by my guy I'm dating or whatever? Or am I choosing what I'm going to wear tonight because it's the thing that feels the best and I feel lit up and I feel excited and it just feels really nice on my skin. And I love how, like, it's for you. Let your life start to be for you. And every choice that you make is for you. And from inside of that, eventually you will make new choices. I got the breast reduction. At the time, that was the best thing for me. That made the most sense. And it was really freeing for me for several years. And I never actually felt, you know, I've done some loving connection with my breasts just to thank them for everything they've been through. But I don't shame myself for the past. This is really important. So if you've already made the choice and now you're feeling like deep shame, like you've done something wrong, we're breaking you free of the punishment system. You've done nothing wrong and it's not your fault. But if we don't speak about these things and Dr. Amanda doesn't speak about these things and other women don't take a stand for something different, then we're all just going to get swept away by this fantasy patriarchal story and never get to come home to ourselves and never get to be liberated in our lives and never get to feel the depth of love and connection and intimacy that we all so deep down crave. It's like, that's what you're chasing in all of these things, like that your saboteur ego, you know, younger versions of yourself are chasing everyone's approval of you. Your life is a performance for everyone else. And you want to make sure they choose you, they accept you, they like you, they approve of you, you fit. But your sovereign soul, your heroine inside, all she cares about is living a life that feels good to her, that feels aligned, that feels right. There's no right and wrong. There's just right for you. And if you don't slow down and actually create the spaciousness to hear what your heart and soul are saying, you'll never meet those parts. And guess what? Like you said, it's who we are. It's innately who we are. And it has been stripped away by this culture that we live in. And people think patriarchy doesn't exist anymore. Are you fucking kidding me? It is everywhere. And yet the system lives inside of you. And our biggest power is not fighting the system. It's changing the system inside. So learn how to make loving choices for yourself that are for you. And eventually things that are really not aligned, it'll be easy to make that choice. You don't have to force yourself to make that choice and beat yourself up for making it. But one day your relationship with yourself will be so sovereign that it will be easy to make the choice that nobody else around you is making.
Yes. And that's the point, right? Like that, this is what growth and maturity is like when we know better, we do differently. Right. And we can have compassion and self-forgiveness for the choices we made when we didn't know. Right. Yeah. And the grace is that, thank God someone's teaching, you know, thank God someone's talking about it. Thank God that we're learning now, right. That you have the access. You are not chosen because of how you look. You are not loved because of how you look. You are more than a body, right. You owe the world nothing. Yes. You don't owe the world pretty. Right. I haven't worn makeup since I gave birth. I go out with no makeup on.
That's amazing.
And I've been noticing that. I mean, I think feeling beautiful happens as a result of taking deep and amazing care for yourself. Right. Like, you can't help but feel beautiful when you walk through the world from I matter. Right? Like, I deserve to feel good. And I feel good as a result of the way I move my body, of the food I put in my body, of the people I spend time around, like of the people I sleep with, right? Yeah. There's a whole episode about the energy exchange of when you're sleeping with someone, right? What's transmitted and what message you're sending yourself. Like, it's hard. It's so hard. And I didn't get here without the support of other women, right? Without being in the circles and in the spiritual practice of coming home. And that's really the invitation, you know, of this episode today. And we hope that you not only talk to us about this, that like now you start talking to your friends about it, you know, like, hey, I read this thing, or hey, I listened to this episode and this is now what I'm thinking, you know, that like you give yourself permission to have the hard conversations, to face your feelings, to face your fears, right? And recognize, oh, we live in a system and I'm the only one that can set myself free. No one's going to do this for me. I set myself free or not, right?
Exactly. And
we hope that you do choose to set yourself free.
A world of self-made women instead of man-made women. Hallelujah. We love you. You've got this. And this is how you build trust within, as you start to listen and you start to connect. So self-made women, we love you. We're here for you. Share it on the Facebook group if you have any comments or you want to share about the episode or any future episodes. And of course, spread the word to all your sisters. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Kate. Thanks so much for listening to the New Truth Podcast. For more of Catherine and I, come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group. We are in there. That's where we're sharing all about our programs and our free workshops that we do. You can come join us there and ask as many questions as you want about the podcast episodes, about dating, relationships, any struggles you're having out there. We would love to support you. So come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, and we will see you soon.